Yes. I'll get to it. I'm getting the children's church. Yes. So children, this is children's church day. If you can be, flip upstairs, and we'll begin and have that time upstairs with you. Well, good day to everyone. Good day, everyone. Hello. Great, thank you. Okay, we're here. You are here. We're here together. So let us begin today. I'm going to put my glasses on this week. So this is Thanksgiving week, and as I was preparing for what does the Lord want me to share with the church, it's going to be a traditional Thanksgiving week message. It's going to be about thankfulness and Thanksgiving, so that's where we begin. This is a U.S. holiday. We celebrate holidays, we commemorate holidays, and you know, holidays are commemorating and remembering meaningful events or people. That's kind of where we have the basis of the holidays we celebrate, and so we as Christians, we should embrace those holidays because they are memorials of great times and great events in the Lord, even things the Lord has done. You know, and sadly, in the world as we live, we find that sometimes these holidays are diluted, moved off of what they originally were and where they came from. So let's just begin. Let's understand the reason for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to read a little bit for you. I wrote it down so I could remember because it's facts and figures. So let me begin by just reading a little bit of facts and figures. So the original Thanksgiving celebration was held by the Pilgrim settlers in Massachusetts during their second winter in America in December of 1621. The first winter had killed 44 of the original 102 colonists. The next summer's crop had brought hope, and Governor William Bradford decreed that on December 13th, 1621, this day be set aside as a day of feasting and prayer to show the gratitude to the father of the colonists that they were still alive. That was the beginning, first, according to history. From that time forward, Thanksgiving has been celebrated different days, but it's been celebrated going forward. But always as a day to give thanks to God for his gracious and sufficient provision. In 1789, George Washington issued a proclamation that a public Thanksgiving be made and observed on the day of thanks for that day. And then it was President Abraham Lincoln who officially set aside originally the last Thursday of November, it was in 1863, and this is as a quote, our president said, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficial father. And then in 1941, Congress ruled that it would be the fourth Thursday. And that was, but we look at this and there was an origin of this holiday we celebrate, we call Thanksgiving, and it was declared as Thanksgiving to the Father. And so we're going to talk a bit about how that plays into our activities. Holidays, they have origins, they have purpose. But again, you know, the world would start to forget or dilute why we have and why we celebrate a holiday. Christmas celebrates the birth of our Savior. But the world merely celebrates gifts and myths. Easter, which I call Resurrection Sunday, celebrates the resurrection of our Lord. But the world celebrates candy, eggs, and a rabbit. And so Thanksgiving celebrates the mercy and grace of our Lord for his provision, but the world celebrates turkey and a football game. So my message today, as we look at this, is to remind us and to encourage us, we as Christians, that we not only is it right to celebrate some holidays, but as we're instructed in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. So the holiday of Thanksgiving, though not a direct scriptural command, our mandates from Scripture and New Testament, we are to observe baptism, where we're to reserve this, do this in remembrance of me. Those are the ones I can find, but that's where we were told commemorate and observe that. But if I look at the breadth of Scripture, it's good and appropriate to give thanks. Actually, in my research, I looked it up. instructions to give thanks occurs 145 times in the Bible. So I believe we're safe. I believe it's okay. It's inside the realm of Scripture to say we should be giving thanks. So what does thankfulness mean? And if we look at this, give thanks and that in all circumstances, let's talk through that. So today, as I have my 3 points, because if I didn't have 3 points, then they all have to rhyme or start with the first letter. So today we're going to talk about the design of thankfulness. Then we're going to move to the desire for thankfulness. And then we'll wrap it up with this decision to be thankful. So let's just begin with the design for thankfulness. So when I look at the design of thankfulness, I was thinking, you know, okay, what's the, if I were to design, if I had a blueprint, what is thankfulness? I'm kind of put a blueprint or design together, and you're thinking of construction, blueprint, well, I have to have a foundation. And what is the foundation and the design of thankfulness? Let's go to the next one. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. When I was doing my scripture search, this phrase, love endures forever, is 45 times in the Bible. So we probably ought to pay attention to that one. So we look at the love endures forever, and that is, what is the foundation? How do you become thankful? What's the foundation? What's the design for thankfulness? It's God's love. That's the foundation of it. And it's love. It's not just, you know, we think of love, but it's agape. Agape love. Agape love is that sacrificial love. It's called God's love. It's the John 3:16 love. For God so agape'd the world that He gave Himself, right? And whoever believes in that will have this everlasting life. So when all is said and down, when all is said and done and everything's stripped away, when all the good and troubling things go away, when we deal with money, good times of money, bad times of money, we deal with health, good times of health, bad times of health, when we deal with relationships, good times of relationships, bad times of relationships. When all is stripped away, really the thing that we have to understand is God's love for us for life, eternal life, and the John 3:16 life. So let's begin by saying that thankfulness has at its foundation, at its very core, is love. And it's not just any love, it's agape love. Again, agape love is the sacrificial love that Jesus and God the Father gave us. Love is described, Jesus described as, this is the agape love where Jesus said, a greater love has no man than this. Then He laid down His life for His friend. So from the, this is the foundation. A thankful heart is a heart that understands it's loved. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love, may I add, for you, endures forever. This is what allowed Paul, in 2 Corinthians 9, to write this phrase, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, for the inexpressible gift. So the design and the idea is that the foundation of love gives us the ability, it's foundational to how can I have a thankful heart? Well, I must begin by understanding I'm loved. And I can know the love of God. And when I have the love of God, my response is to give thanks to the Lord. He's good. And His love endures forever. And this foundation, this is what we move, this is how we can say when we go back and look, we think through 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. The give thanks can occur in all circumstances. Why? Because the foundation of my thankfulness is knowing in my heart, God loves me. So the design is that. And that allows us the very also common scripture we've heard many times, Romans 8:28. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. The love of God is what allows the all things to work together for good. So circumstances, but circumstances are our basis for thankfulness. we say thank you for a circumstance, right? Thank you for the food on the table. Thank you for the circumstance. Thank you for the next circumstance. So thankfulness by design is thanking for the circumstance. But the heart that can thank you for the circumstance is understanding, has to be in that foundation of love. So through the lens of God's love, we view and appreciate our circumstances and are thankful. And then we can get to the realm of give thanks in all circumstances, because let's begin with the design of God's thankfulness. Give thanks to the Lord for His good, because His love for you, let me add that, endures forever. So the design of thankfulness is love. And through the lens of God's love, we can view and appreciate our circumstances and be thankful. And that allows us, in the realm of all things, to truly be thankful. So if we understand this basic design of thankfulness, that it comes from love, it has to be based in a foundation in God's love and the fact that God's love for me never ends. Then we say, okay, good, that's the design for thankfulness. I can be thankful in all circumstances because God loves me and He's going to work all things together for good for me. Circumstance may look different than I thought it was going to look like, but it will. All things work together for good, those who love me. So then I want to talk a bit about, okay, if we have a design for thankfulness, we want to desire to be thankful. We want to have this desire for thankfulness. Why? A thankful heart is a joyful heart. A thankful heart is a peaceful heart. And a thankful heart is a content heart. How many of us here want to desire our lives to be filled with joy, filled with peace, and filled with contentment? I hope you all raise your hand. How many, I desire to have a joyful life. I desire to have a peaceful life. I desire to have this content life. The gate to that is thankfulness. His goodness and His love should strengthen us and be that desire for thankfulness. And I can be thankful because I'm based on the foundation of knowing my God loves me. My God has done everything for an eternal life with Him. My God has paid the price. What circumstance can matter? Paul had many, many circumstances, right? If we read the New Testament, he had good days and he had bad days. We all have good days and bad days. And in Philippians 4, in verses 12 and 13, let me just read it. This is Paul saying, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And that's a great statement. That's the Holy Spirit wrote that. Sounds good to me. Paul was saying, listen, I can face all these circumstances. How is this possible? Well, it's because of His thankfulness that leads to peace. How do I know that? Well, let's go back up. I just read verses 12 and 13. Let me step back to verses 6 and 7 of that and listen to this. This is Paul writing, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will enter. Then I can know how to have an abundance or want. I know how to have to be brought low, or to face hunger, or an abundance, or in a need. I desire to be thankful in all circumstances, because when I am thankful, I'm joyful. When I'm thankful, the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard my heart. when I'm thankful, I have learned to be content and be anxious about nothing. Because I'm a thankful man. And I'm a thankful man because I know God loves me. Sometimes when you try to make a point, it's often good. Well, let's look at the antithesis. Let's look at the opposite. What is not? And that sometimes helps us understand what it is. So obviously, a worldly heart, we can turn on the television, we can read a news article, we can read a blog, there's all this, I hate it, I don't like it, you're stupid. There's this worldly view that is not peaceful, not joyful, and not content. So if we look at the opposite of an unthankful heart, there's no joy, they're darkened and controlled by their circumstances, and they're never content. How do I know this? Well, 2 Timothy was written, it says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2, it says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. That's what the world looks like. They're ungrateful. The world has to have a good circumstance for a temporary time to even have the false presumption of thankfulness in their heart for that. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, again, you need to keep reading Romans chapter 1, because Romans chapter 1 is, this is what happens to your society when it rejects God. That's what Romans 1 basically says. When a society rejects God, this is what it looks like. Just read Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither they were not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and foolish, and their heart was darkened. Those that reject God and are ungrateful become vain and their heart is darkened. So that's the antithesis. That's the antithesis. So we can certainly look at what that is. So some may say that, especially with a dark heart, I often hear this with a dark heart. I know we've all heard this. That's not fair. Heard that a lot lately. It's not fair. You're right. Life's not fair. I always would tell everyone, you're absolutely right. Life's not fair. Mercy's not fair. Grace is not fair. Because mercy is not getting what you deserve, right? Mercy is when you're shown mercy, you're not punished. So it's not fair that you don't get punished for what you deserve. Grace is getting something you didn't earn, you don't deserve. And you're right, it's not fair. It's not fair that the grace of God gives you something you didn't deserve. Life is not fair. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. Life is not fair, but I also tell my children, you're right, it's not fair. Yeah, it's not fair that you've been forgiven. It's not fair that your legs work and you can go to work. It's not fair that, you know, you're right. It's not fair. You know, you have so much. Life's not fair. And when it's not fair, what do you say? Thank you. Right? The desire for thankfulness should be the fact we just understand, listen, apart from God's love, all I would have is this darkened heart, discontent, no joy, lack of peace. Man, no wonder the world's trying to kill itself and everybody's at each other's throat. We should desire thankfulness. Because God leads that to say, oh, be thankful, I'll give you a peaceful heart. Be thankful, I'll give you contentment. Be thankful, you'll be a joyful person. Because it's hard not to be joyful when you're saying thank you. I want to take a moment, a little bit, with thankful and joyful, because I have a little trouble with the word happy. And I always, when we're helping training parents and how to do kids, be very careful to tell your child, you need to be happy. Because happy is about the external circumstance, right? I'm happy when my circumstance is good. A child is happy when they're having a good day, A child is not happy when their circumstances are not what they want, right? So let's be careful. Let's be slow. It's nothing wrong with being happy. Even Jesus said, happy are you if you suffer persecution, right? So there's nothing wrong with being happy, but that is an elusive goal. I try not to tell, don't tell your kids you need to have a happy heart. Tell your kids you need to have a joyful heart. And how do you get a joyful heart? Because you're thankful, because you know you're loved. And even as parents, as we work with one another, right? My child can have a joyful heart even when it's a bad day for them, because I still love them, even though I might have a little bit of a correction in their life. Still love them, and they know I love them. And they have a joyful heart. We will have joyful hearts. Again, happy is the response to your circumstance, but joy is knowing your love regardless of this earthly circumstance. Our happy is from our eternal circumstance. Let's go back to John 3:16. He loves you. He agapes you. He made a way so that you can have an eternal good circumstance. This life is but a vapor, folks. Done. Eternity with God. His love endures forever. That's what we want. One last thing. I was thinking through this, I want to desire thankfulness, and should we desire thankfulness? Yeah, because peace and joy and contentment. I was doing this, and the Lord brought up to me fruits of the Spirit. And I thought through this, God's fruit, it looks like, starts with love. Love is thankfulness, and it brings joy. So love, when I'm loved and thankful, I get joy. And when I'm loving and thankful and get joy, I get peace. And I could he just read through the 9 and just see this progression of what I give you. Your fruit is love, thankfulness. Then I give you joy. Couple on top of that, peace. And then patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit comes. I have to say, being thankful never hurts. It's going to help your fruit to blossom. Have a thankful heart. We should desire thankfulness. We should desire for all that we're about and all that we do, so that God's fruit will manifest itself and we will be lovely, joyful, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what we love. So we understand the design of thankfulness. It's designed for because of God's love. We know we desire it because we desire to be joyful and peaceful and content so that we might glorify our God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not just so that people like you. They may not like you at all. Fruit of the Spirit is so that you can glorify the vine and glorify God. So design, desire, decision. Decision to be thankful. If we were to look at Psalm 50, twice in Psalm 50, there's this phrase, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Like a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Okay, sacrifice. What's sacrifice? Okay, I'm giving something that I might even be hard to do. Sacrifice? A sacrifice of thanksgiving means, you know what? There may be a decision I have to make to just give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's that time when you're looking here and you say, you know what, this is hard. And Psalms says, present a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. Psalm 100 says, come before my presence with singing, near my courts with praise, come with thanksgiving in your heart. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, where we started, it's like, okay, give thanks in all circumstances. I can do it. And sometimes that's exactly what you need to say. I can do it. It's a decision to be thankful. It's easy to be thankful when times are good. I know that one's easy, right? Thank you, God, for a paycheck. And then 2 weeks later, thank you, God, that the paycheck's not enough. Right? Thank you, God, for I just got eight, and we just had a great dinner, and thank you, tomorrow there's nothing left. Thank you. You have to make it a decision. And sometimes it has to be this word, intentional. Now, obviously, we can't have a Pollyanna view. You know Pollyanna, the movie? Everybody with me? Pollyanna is a phrase talking about a movie where this young girl, everything's great. We smile, everybody gets along, and she was just like this ray of sunshine that went everywhere. So it's not necessarily a Pollyanna view of life. Because there will be times of trouble and trial and trouble. But it's an understanding and an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. We can have deep concern, times of grief and hurt, but that doesn't cancel out our thankfulness or the assurance of God's love for you or the joy of knowing Christ as my Savior. We can have thankful hearts towards God even when we do not feel thankful for the circumstance. We can grieve and still be thankful. We can hurt and still be thankful. We can be angry at sin, still be thankful to God. That's what the Bible says. Not only in Psalms we have the offer of sacrifice of praise, but in Hebrews 13 it says this, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, acknowledging his name, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God keeps our heart in a right relationship with him. You know, I think this is the sad part, right? This is my first Thanksgiving that my mom won't be here. She died this summer, right? And what's my response to that? My response is, thank you, God. She's in your glory. And I have these great memories of my mom. She put a heritage out, and we're going to celebrate my mom on Thanksgiving. Right? That's what thankfulness is. So, the basis of being thankful and making it a decision to be thankful, let us therefore be grateful to receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. So if you're with me so far, we understand the design of thankfulness. It's God's love. And knowing I'm loved. Then desiring thankfulness, because it is a pathway. It's a gate to joy, peace, contentment. Fruit of the Spirit manifests itself through that. Finally, the decision to be thankful gets us back to this. What is the application of this idea for us today? What do we do with all this encouragement about, hey, I will be thankful? You need to be intentional. Your intentional thankfulness speaks to what is important. You'll be thankful for what you value. No one complains about something they don't value. Nor do we necessarily say, we need to be intentional in what we say and what we speak about and give thanks to God and thankful to others. To be intentional is in everything to give thanks, and it's thanks to God and thanks for God's goodness. Thanks to the people around you as well. In 1 Thessalonians 5, where we have the rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, we're also instructed to not only give thanks to God, but encourage one another and build one another up. So thankfulness works as God wants us to work, but it also works horizontally. The please and thank yous of life. We teach our kids, say please and thank you. Please and thank you. That absolutely works. Our application is that you can make sure that your thank you to each other is also an intentional practice in your personal relationships with your spouse, with your children, with your siblings, with your friends, with your coworkers, with the grocery store clerk. Everyone can benefit when you express thanks because it's modeling what God has in your heart. So let us make it a practice. So as Christians, that we give thanks in all circumstances. So I started our talk this morning with saying this is Thanksgiving week. And I said that there's a holiday and that the world dilutes our holidays and dilutes what they originally were even ordained and set aside to be. Thanksgiving at its heart, at the beginning, and even through declarations of our presidents, was to give thanks to the Father. To give thanks to God. So what is one of my encouragements for you? Well, this week when you're together, give thanks to the Father. We as Christians should be doing it day by day, by moment, but hey, the world's watching. Your family's watching. Your extended family's watching. How do you, Christian, celebrate Thanksgiving? What do you do, Christian, for Thanksgiving? So let us make it maybe more than dinner. I like food. Amen? I like food a lot. You can see by my midsection, I like food probably too much. I like football. I enjoy watching a football game. I enjoy getting together with my family. I enjoy seeing those times together. I enjoy it. It's good. Did all that honor my Father? If I just did that? Purpose of the Thanksgiving celebration is to give thanks to the Father for His provision for you. So let me encourage you, Christian. Make it something intentional. Let's get down to brass tacks. You're going to have one, two, four. I know some folks have four meals to go to over the next 4 or 5 days, right? You have this time together. Let me challenge you with something intentional. Your decision to be thankful and to glorify our God and say, yeah, I am a Christian. And this is important to me because the things that are important to you, you do. Will you say, hey, we're gathered together. The purpose of this gathering together is to give thanks to the Father. What that looks like in your household, all kinds of ways. I can share some of the things that we do. We might, when we're all sitting around the table, I'll ask each person as we go around the table, tell me what you're thankful to God about. Make it intentional. Make it a decision to be thankful. Another thing, we have this great big blackboard, chalkboard on the wall. I erase it all off Thursday morning. And I ask people when they come in, grab a piece of chalk, write something down you're thankful to God for. I've seen people, they have a jar with a slip of paper when all the folks are coming in your house. Take their coat, hand them a slip of paper. It's like, write something you're thankful to God down. Stick it in the jar. Then when you're in the mill, somebody get the jar out and just start declaring thanks to God. Thank you for the food. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for my job. You just start. There's some ideas. Make this celebration more than food and football, folks. You're God. Wants to be honored. It's a decision to be thankful. Make a new tradition. When Chuck showed up that one time, he made us fill this slip out in this bowl, and we have this bowl every year. Praise God. Right? Because we're going to take them at a moment, at least, we're going to be intentional and say, you know, the reason we're gathering together is not for, you know, the noodles, which my daughters will say that is the primary reason of having dinner, is to get the noodles with, they put noodles and mashed potatoes together. I don't know what it is, but it's like a carbo blast. It's more than the mashed potatoes and noodles and turkey, folks. That's what makes it fun and celebrating. Celebratory, great. Nothing wrong with it, except maybe the fourth helping. But nothing wrong with it. But are you going to make it a decision to be thankful? And be overt and intentional and say, we are a child of God. We will declare thanks to the Father for all He has. That's my challenge to you, a Christian. Some of it may be even hard. We've never done that before. Why are you meeting? So, we are loved by God. It is easy to be thankful, even in the hard days. Amen? I hope you say amen to that. So, be joyful, people. Be at peace. Be a content person. Thank you for that I ran out of gas, the tire's low, and I'm late. Thank you, God. Because there's something good coming out of this. I haven't seen it yet, but there's something good out of this. I thank you, God, because I know you love me, and it's a hard day. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to you that you're our God. I just pray that even these simple words, that we truly know how much you love us. How good it is to have a God that loves us and said, I'll come and even die for you. How good that is, Father. We're thankful to you for being our God, for your patience toward us, for your grace, for your mercy, for all that you give us. Father, we're even thankful to you for the hard days that are just hard. Because it says you love us. And Father, for anyone in this room who doesn't know the love of Jesus, we pray even today, may perhaps they would hear you say, I love you. And though the days are easy, or the days are hard, I love you. And we love you back, Father. We pray your will is accomplished in us. We pray you watch over us as we go about this week. And we do truly want to glorify the name of Jesus Christ in all that we do. We bless your name, Lord Jesus.